We hear this book given different names. Someone calls it Revelations. That's not what it is. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to go to chapter 11, if you would, please. I got to thinking of all the times in the Bible that anybody ever gives thanks. I wonder when the last one is. When was the very last time anybody says thank you in the Bible? Please tolerate my voice. It doesn't hurt that much. It's just hard to make certain sounds. But in Revelation chapter 11, if you're there, the last time we see people giving thanks, of course, this doesn't mean there won't be others. It's just the last time the Bible mentions it is in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 17. He says, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Father, thank you tonight for each one here. And Lord, thank you for those other church members that traveling tonight. God, I pray you'd give them safety. Bless them tremendously as they enjoy Thanksgiving with friends and family. We look forward to that. It's a blessing to live in a land where we can have such bounty and literally make trip after trip to the store to get just what we want so that we can make that perfect meal tomorrow for our loved ones. And I pray you would bless all of our church members and give them great fellowship and a great time of refreshment. And then, Lord, bring us all back together this coming weekend as we begin to enter a holiday season and get ready for Christmas. I pray tonight that you give me a few more minutes of voice so I can preach this message. And I pray that it would be just exactly what we all need to hear tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, the word thanks, how many times do you think it appears? And I won't let you answer. It's not quite as many as you think. The word thank, thanks, thanksgiving, all those different kinds of words, 130 times altogether. Of course, there's other words that look like that. The very first time thanksgiving is mentioned is the word thanksgiving in Leviticus 7:12. And the very last time thanks is mentioned is in Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thee thanks. Now, I just asked myself the question, on that very last occasion, who's talking? Why are they thankful? And what's the setting here? What's going on? Now, the Revelation is a challenging book. Would you agree? There's a lot of symbolism in the Revelation. There's a lot of literal events in the Revelation that people think are symbolism and vice versa. And it's a book that's got a funny structure to it as well. And it's not the kind of book that you enter into casually. If you want to study the Revelation, it takes a little bit of time. In the Revelation, there's a bunch of sevens. Of course, you remember the Revelation starts with the seven churches of the Revelation, right? And then after that, we begin into a prophetic message from John talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to the world. Now, to us, he has already been revealed in one sense, and that is we know him. Amen? We have not seen him, but we know him. He lives in us, and we know all about him from the Bible. So we're not going into this ignorantly, but the world, not us, if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to see the Lord before the world does, either because of the rapture or because you're going to step into eternity through death, and you're going to see the Lord then. But this is when he's revealed to the world. And there's some series of sevens in the Revelation, and there's sevens. I didn't list them all here. I've got a bunch of handouts and stuff, but that's not really the point. But there are seven trumpets. There are seven seals. There are seven vials. There's a bunch of sevens in the Revelation. And this event in Revelation chapter 11, if you're there, if you look in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 11, it says, the seventh angel sounded. Do you see that? That's the seventh trumpet. There were seven seals. Now there are seven trumpets. And when the seventh trumpet is blown, the world is about to be judged. They've already experienced some tribulation, but there's about to be a judgment. And I can't give you the whole outline of the revelation tonight. It wouldn't make sense to do so. But in this setting of this seventh trumpet, in verse 16, if you look at verse 16, it mentions 4 and 20 elders. And these 4 and 20 elders sit before God on their seats. They're actually thrones. And they fall on their face and they worship God. And they're the ones that say, "We give thee thanks." Now, have you ever wondered what something is in the Bible? And used to be, if you wanted to find out what something meant in the Bible, by the way, the best thing to do, if you'll ask your pastor, I can probably help you. Amen? So if you don't know what something is, send me a text or call me or stop by or whatever. If I don't know, I'll find out. When I'm trying to find out what something is in the Bible, if I don't know, there is the golden rule of interpretation, which is interpret Scripture with Scripture. In other words, find out what the Bible says it is. So I was reading today, and I was reading all these different opinions of who the 4 and 20 elders are. And then I thought, you know, the Bible probably says who these guys are. Let's go look at this a little bit. And it is in Revelation chapter 5. Keep your finger here and turn back to Revelation chapter 5, not too far back. Now, these 4 and 20 elders are mentioned 6 times in the Revelation. They're in chapter 4 twice, they're in chapter 5 twice, chapter 11, where we just read, and then chapter 19. But in chapter 5, if you're there in Revelation 5, 9, it says, they, that's the 4 and 20 elders, I gotta make sure I got my right place here, sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So the 4 and the 20 elders, what they are is they're saved people. They're redeemed. They are a representation of you and I, saved Gentiles, and a representation of saved Jews. And some folks think, okay, that's why the number 24 is good. 12 for the Jews, 12 for the Gentiles. But it is an audience especially assembled in heaven to say some things. And every time you see them, they're worshiping, they're worshiping, they're worshiping. And these 4 and 20 elders, what they are is they're representative of us. They represent us in heaven during this time period. So they are a couple of things about them. They're sitting on thrones, which means they have authority. They're clothed in white raiment, which is the righteousness of Christ. that's mentioned in Revelation 3:5. And if you want these notes, I'll give them to you later. They're crowned with crowns. Those are rewards. And then they worship the Lamb. And I haven't got time to show you this, but if you study all the times they're mentioned, it says they worship the Lamb. Then it says they worship God. Because, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And that's just one more place in the Bible where that is clearly pointed out. So, who are these elders? They are people like you and I. They're born-again Christians. They're redeemed out of every tongue, nation, and age. Think about all the different people in the world tonight. And you think in our nation, how good we've got it. I mean, again, isn't it funny how we go to the store over and over and over until we got every stick of butter and every apple? And did you buy apples, by the way? Ah, we got apples. Okay, I make apple pie tomorrow. And we go and we get the perfect meal put together. What? Don't know. Don't talking about. Don't get me going. Think about tonight. It's probably in Africa now. The sun's about to come up, and there are some people in Africa. They don't have electricity. They're out in the bush. They probably have to carry their water from someplace far away. I'm very sure they cook their food on an open fire. There's not very much of it. Their house consists of something that they built out of whatever they could find. And that's all good and fine. But the thing is, if they're saved, they're just like you and I. They're going to be here in heaven one day. And these elders represent people like that. These elders represent people that have known Christ throughout the ages and throughout the world in different places. And so They cry out and they say in verse 17, "We give thee thanks, O Lord." One of the verses that we quote a lot around here is in Thessalonians. It says, "In everything give thanks." I got to thinking about it. It doesn't say for everything give thanks, but in every situation we can be thankful. Amen? He says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I think there's two things there. Number one, it's the will of God for us to be thankful. And number two, the things God's taken us through are his will as well. These people are giving thanks, looking back over everything that has happened, but more importantly, why are they giving thanks? This is the interesting thing, I think. The reason they're giving thanks is described in verse 17. First of all, let me read it to you again. He said, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come." I'll talk about that in a minute. "Because," why are we giving thee thanks? "Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." What is the one thing for all eternity we'll be able to be thankful for? That God is in control. And everything is going to be just the way it ought to be because he's going to make sure it is. Now, they've been through a lot, just like you and I may have been through some things. They've probably been, they represent us, and so they've been through what we've been through, but some of them much more. And some people have been through much more than we have been through. But it all comes down to this. When we step into eternity and the Lord Jesus Christ assumes his proper place as the ruler over all things, then there will be nothing to do but be thankful. There will be nothing to regret. There will be nothing to be discouraged about. There will be no disappointment, no sickness, no sorrow. Everything will be consumed in an attitude of thanksgiving for all eternity. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is so important in the Bible. Nobody else could do that but him. The seventh seal was just opened. In Revelation 8:1, the angels have blown these seven trumpets. In verse 15, which we just read, the seventh one was blown. It is the beginning of the end of the end. The seventh trumpet has sounded. The final judgment of the world is about to begin with the seven last plagues, seven vials of the wrath of God in Revelation 15:7. There's no more question anymore at this point in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is taking control of the world. He'll be in control forever and ever. Everything will be right because of him. Every injustice will be dealt with. Every person that doesn't love God will be dealt with accordingly. Every person that loves God will be rewarded. Amen? And those are the kind of things they talk about. They say it because the Lord is going to take charge of all things. Because he's going to judge sin, as is mentioned in verse 18. Because he's going to reward his servants, as is mentioned in verse 18. And it's because, let me read verse 18 because it's all right there. It says, I'll read 17 to go with it. "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty." Now look at verse 17. It says, "And which art and wast and art to come," he's eternal, "because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And so verse 18 has really got everything in it. For the folks that love the Lord, reward. The folks that reject him, judgment. I was talking about my conversation with a young man that was in my youth group about a month ago. And he sent me a text yesterday and he said, "I went to church last Sunday." And he made a point of telling me that. And he was telling me about the message and so on and so forth. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if one more person got right with God before the Lord returns? Amen? And you try to get somebody to come to church, for example. Or you try to get somebody to listen to the gospel. You try to get somebody to trust the Lord. You tell people things and you think, this isn't doing any good. I'm talking and talking and talking. It's not doing any good. Folks, sometimes it does some good. Amen? But when this day comes, that's it. It's going to be up. You had your chance, and now God's going to deal with us. I like to think about getting rewarded for the work we've done for the Lord and casting the crowns at His feet. I don't like to think about it, but it is true. God will judge the world. And when you start reading forward from this point in the Revelation, there is tremendous. There's already been tribulation. Now there's going to be judgment, and it's final judgment. Aren't you glad you know the Lord? So the people that are saying, "We give thee thanks," are the 24 elders that represent you and I. It's a cross-section of people that are redeemed by Christ. They're saying it because the seventh seal's been opened, the trumpet has sounded, and judgment is coming. They say it because Jesus is going to take charge, He's going to judge, He's going to reward, and He's going to destroy. And then, of course, who they say it to. Look at that again, and we'll finish up with that in verse 17. He says, "O Lord God Almighty." That title is only used in the Revelation. You never see that title of God anywhere else. It's in there five times. He's the King of the saints. He's the Creator of all things. And that idea of might has the idea that He is in control of the armies of heaven, and whatever He says goes. You talk to somebody and you try and get them to see. And by the way, all we can do is tell people. Amen? We can't convict them, but we can tell them. There is one more thing that we can do, and we got to be careful to do this. We can care about them. What I mean by that is this. We're not trying to win the argument. We're trying to win the person. I don't need to win an argument. I know I'm right. You know? You get a little child and you're trying to teach them fractions, and you tell them if you cut the pie in half, you got two pieces, and they don't see it that way. That's the way it is. You got two pieces. I don't see that. They said, well, there's two pieces there and one of them is half, and their eyes spin in the back of their heads, you know. And I don't need to argue about it. That's just the way it is. All I can do is tell them and try and get them to see it. Amen. I'm not angry with them because they can't see it. In fact, I grieve over it, because this place right here is coming when God's going to set everything in order. And the folks that have received Him are going to be rewarded. The folks that served Him. The folks that sacrificed for Him. The folks that took time to do His will and to be holy and to read their Bible and to pray and to care for other people. There's going to be great reward in heaven. And folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, it's just, we get some glimpses of God's goodness on this earth. You ain't seen nothing yet. People that have rejected Him, mocked Him, crucified Him, made fun of Him, whatever. Their day's coming too. And God has to judge them because God judges all sin. The reason these 24 elders that represent you and I are thankful is because, folks, there is a day coming when the Lord's going to assume control of all things. And it'll never, ever end. And when He's in control, you can be sure it's going to be a wonderful day. In a moment in time, on that day, and this is prophecy, it hadn't happened yet, when the elders give that last thanks ever recorded in the Bible, all the disappointment, the heartache, the suffering, the despair that has ever been felt by any redeemed person will be swallowed up in a final cry of gratitude when the Lord Jesus Christ judges the wicked and rewards His servants. In that day, there will be no more suffering, no more sacrifice, no more pain, no more woe or hurt or despair or disappointment or sadness. There will only be gratitude forever and ever. Thanksgiving is eternal, amen? We just get a glimpse of that right now. These 24 elders, when they give that last thanks in the Bible, they're standing there. They've heard that trumpet, that seventh trumpet. They've seen those angels get ready to pour those seven vials filled with God's wrath on the earth. That's God's judgment for all those that rejected Him. And they say, "Lord, we give You thanks because finally everything's going to be made right." It's not yet that way, but it will be. Amen. All we got to do is keep on serving Him. And we're going to be there one of these days and get to see those kind of things. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.